Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. We've used this program over the last 6 years to try to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is part of the Barnstable County government. We also serve Martha's Vineyard under an agreement with Dukes County. I'm John Burns, your host, a retired energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, which is located in the Superior Courthouse in Barnstable. Among the many initiatives of the Cape Light Compact is the National Energy Education Development Program, acronym NEED. It's an initiative designed to bring the study of energy into the classroom, particularly at the elementary school level. I have two guests today to talk about energy education in the classroom. Debbie Fitton is the Compact's Energy Education Programs Coordinator, and Maggie Brown is a K-5 science teacher at the Eastham Elementary School. So Maggie and Deb, welcome to the program. You've both actually been on it before, so this is old hat to you. But I think I'm going to start with you, Debbie. Just refresh our memory. What is the NEED program?
Well, the National Energy Education Development Project, or program, has been around since 1980, and it started with a proclamation from President Jimmy Carter to bring attention to the energy crisis at the time. So it was a one-day proclamation to bring to light the energy crisis. And from there, the NEED Project has developed into a curriculum-based science education program that reaches K through 12 students all over the country. And actually now they also reach other countries as well. They've been doing some work with Taiwan and Japan and have become world known. And the NEED Project is also loosely affiliated with the Department of Energy down in Washington, D.C. And being a nonprofit education program, we partnered with them back in 2002 when we started the energy education program with the Cape Light Compact. And they've been very supportive and far-reaching for us. We've been able to reach all of our schools here on the Cape and Vineyard, and our teachers are very pleased with the program.
Great. And Maggie, you've been involved pretty much from the beginning of its inception on the Cape.
Yes, I started with Cape Light Compact in 2001 on the Teacher Advisory Board.
Okay.
And then I started, the poor children, I started experimenting with the NEED before submitting scrapbooks in 2003, I believe, for 2 years. And then in 2005, we started submitting scrapbooks.
And basically, the purpose is to sensitize children at an early age of what energy is. It's something that, frankly, these generations pretty much take for granted. It's energy is something that is as important to us as breathing and water and other things. We just kind of take it for granted that it's there. We put a plug in the wall and there it is. But there's an awful lot that goes on behind there.
Absolutely.
And it is important to get the kids involved. So Maggie, can you explain your program and how it's evolved, what it is you do in the classroom, and where you think you're going to go from here?
I started back in 2003, I believe, doing after-school science clubs with whatever grade level I was with. And I was at third grade at first. Then I moved to fifth grade and started doing after-school science clubs with them. We ran a sun energy fair every year with the help of Cape Light Compact. Sometimes our kids went out to different schools to teach other kids about energy. And then now I'm teaching K through 5 science. And with the next generation science standards coming out, fourth grade is, you know, first of all, energy is all throughout, and with a very high emphasis in fourth grade. So now I'm working with both fourth grade classes, and we're going to do another energy fair, but we're doing it within the context of the school day.
Okay, and what do you do at the energy fair?
The children researched renewable and non-renewable resources.
Okay.
They either create posters. This year they are doing some rock performances with mm-hmm. songs. NEED has a great song book. One of the fourth grade teachers, Tracy Deegan, is going to be a fawn for fuel, and she is going to be the announcer. And through the energy fair, we'll stop and have these kids who are learning these songs, which are from anywhere from the the theme of I'm a Little Teapot to Britney, one of Britney Spears'
Excellent.
Songs. And it really teaches about fuel and energy and all different kinds of things, yeah, like that.
Okay. And is that open to the public? It's open to the public.
Okay. We've had it open to our community, the East Ham community. We're really going to start opening it up and promoting it bigger. We want a lot of people to come.
Okay.
To this.
Do you have a date yet, or is that to be determined?
It's going to be early March.
Okay. All right. So we do have something to look forward to, and I assume that we'll be able to see in the newspapers and radio announcements and that type of thing.
Absolutely.
when it's coming out.
We'll have it posted on our website as
okay.
well.
Okay. All right. So anybody that's interested in getting into the school and seeing what the kids are doing with energy education, this is going to be a great event. And you've done these events in the past.
I've been doing them since 2003. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And they've been a lot of fun. And
yeah,
as a matter of fact,
I've
attended a couple of them. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a great way to for the kids to practice their kids teaching kids model, and it's really empowering, I think, for them. You could see it in their faces that they're really making a difference when they're talking to adults and telling the adults about renewable energy sources and the importance of a good energy mix and where energy comes from. It's a really great experience, I think, for them all around, not just the information they're getting out there, but how they're doing it and who they're reaching.
When you say now this is going to be brought into the classroom during the regular school hours, mm-hmm. rather than do you have actually hold classes on energy sources?
Yeah, when my fourth graders come in, I'm working off the new Next Generation Science Standards for K-5, and when the students come in, right now we're doing our energy unit. And they're studying energy. They've just finished electricity. In January, they're going to study renewable and non-renewable. We do all sorts of experiments and things. And then what they do is they take that information, they put it into some kind of way to display it. And then at the energy fair, they come up with activities and games or ways to engage the other children, their parents, people from the community to teach them about. Last year, we were very lucky. We had a young man who was very involved in the wind, and we've partnered up with the Cape Cod Museum of Natural History on a couple of Saturdays in the past few years with Cape Light Compact's help, and people from the community kept coming over and saying, where does this boy work with Cape Wind? And we're like, no, we're not affiliated with any, you know,
right.
anything, but he was so involved and into it.
Sure.
They were so surprised that these, you know, adults were coming and this young man could teach them all about wind and how wind turbines work and all this.
He was really knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Well, it's great, and frankly, we have folks in the audience right now that are listening to this program that may or may not make the connection of where electricity goes, where it comes from. Mm-hmm. It starts off as some sort of a fuel source,
right.
It goes through a generator and. Then comes down the wires and it ultimately goes through the meter and then it gets to us and as I said at the beginning, we often don't think about where it is it comes from. So you've been recognized nationally, I believe.
Yes.
So can we talk about how that comes about and what it is you've done to get yourself recognized?
Every year. Around April 15th, that date sounds familiar to most folks, all of our energy clubs that are involved with the NEED project, they submit a scrapbook of it's sort of a portfolio of all of their projects that they were involved with from the school year. They submit this to the NEED project down in Washington, D.C., and these scrapbooks are judged by the Department of Energy, and there's a rubric that they use for the judging, and they often get hundreds of these things from across the country, and awards are given out, national awards and state awards, and our energy clubs have always won top awards for their efforts in energy education outreach. And Maggie, I think, leads the pack with the number of awards that the Cape and Vineyard has seen.
Well, what are the awards? What do they constitute?
The Massachusetts Award, the kids get to go down to the State House. They get certificates that say that they were the top in the state for their class, their grade level. And then the National Award, you get to go down to, they have a big, it's like a big party.
Mm-hmm.
And they take the kids get to tour all over D.C. They get to go to some very famous places. And there's a big award ceremony at the end. And they have guest speakers, and the kids are the focus, and they get plaques.
Okay. So it's something really well worth
absolutely.
Working towards. And,
yeah, it's a nice recognition. The kids are just beaming during the award ceremony, and we've had some really high-powered speakers come to the Department of the Interior where we've had these.
Can you mention some names?
Award ceremonies. Not right off the top.
Oh, really? Okay.
We've had the Undersecretary of Energy
on
a couple of years. We've had the Director of Science and Science and Technology from the Philadelphia Museum of Science come, and so they've had a number of really nice speakers. And the speakers always relate directly to the kids. They're not political speakers, which
right.
is nice. The kids
yes.
understand the importance of what they're doing. And the awards such as the top senior level school of the year, for instance, has gone to Sandwich High School a number of times
mm-hmm.
for their efforts. Maggie has won elementary school of the year nationally and elementary school of the year on the state level a number of times. And in the very beginning, she won rookie of the year for her efforts. So.
Yep.
They're all different kinds of categories.
How many of these clubs do you have throughout the Cape? And are they, I suppose to some extent or another, they're as involved or less, perhaps less involved, but...
They're all involved in different levels. For instance, we have an energy club at Harwich Middle School that numbers over 100 kids, and presently
mm-hmm.
The energy club from Harwich went down to Washington last year, and actually in the year before as well. So this year, now that they're housed at the middle school, it's become quite a popular thing. They do a lot of outreach projects now that it's a Monomoy, centered
right.
project. We have a real active group at Forestdale, and they've been selling CFL and LED light bulbs.
Okay, this program, we have to define our acronym. So
compact fluorescent light bulbs and
light emitting diodes.
Okay.
Diodes.
New. Compact fluorescent light bulbs have been around for a while, but light emitting diodes are emerging on the scene.
Right.
They've been used in the past typically for colored applications,
mm-hmm.
tail lights on trucks, those kinds of things, and cars, and displays for electronic equipment and that type of thing. The challenge had been to get a white LED that where the light was pleasant enough, and they're getting there. LEDs, light emitting diode technology is the future of lighting. Uses very little electricity and gives off plenty of light. Can we quantify the number of clubs?
We've got at least a dozen.
A dozen active, clubs, okay.
Active throughout clubs the Cape. Going on throughout the Cape and Vineyard.
Okay.
We have one at the high school based on with technology and engineering.
Okay.
So, they're all different, and they all have different projects, but the important thing is they're reaching their community and involving their community in energy and getting their community to think about energy and energy sources.
Oh, excellent. Maggie, I have a new acronym, STEM. Can you define what STEM is and talk about your STEM lab in eSTEM?
Yep. STEM is science, technology, math, and engineering. And what it does is integrate all those topics into a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just teaching science, you're not
right.
just teaching technology, just engineering or mathematics. You're tying it all together. And luckily, after going to the MAST conference, the Massachusetts Association of Science Teachers and the NSTA, the National Science Teachers Association conferences. I came back really excited and a little bit of bit tentative because I felt we were very behind in Eastham in our science because we've been focusing on math and, mm-hmm. and EL and English language arts. And I convinced my principal, and she was very much into, you know, she'd read about STEM and wanted this. So now we have a beautiful room. All the kids from kindergarten through fifth grade come in for science once or twice a week. And we base our curriculum on the national, you know, science standards. But it's all incorporated. Like every single grade level just did an engineering project. For example, first grade made Play-Doh. The mm-hmm. kindergartens made boats because they're doing a pirate mm-hmm. unit. Okay. What sinks and floats and things like that.
So what do we have in the lab? The lab implies that there's toys in there, not toys, but the demonstrations.
What don't you have in the lab? This is the question.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was an all call. Everybody brought their science things together.
Okay.
I have 8 or 10 engineering units from the Museum of Science in Boston. They mm-hmm. do a really great job with engineering is elementary. We have all sorts of just supplies, you know, basic, you know, you think paper towel tubes couldn't be used for things.
Sure.
And we're really trying to recycle things. School lunches now come in these clear plastic containers like you can get at a restaurant or a mm-hmm. luncheon place. And we are using those for every single thing possible. So I try to reuse as much as possible, but I do have bins of electronic stuff, and it's just a great place to have all your science gear in one place. So if someone says, hey, have you got some microscopes? Well, here they are. Hey, have you got this? Here it is. And the teachers are very involved. They come in with their classes, and they're loving it because now we can talk, and they can integrate the writing, the reading, everything they're doing with the science topic that we're
Excellent.
Talking about.
That's fantastic.
The NEED project, the Cape Light Compact through the NEED project has many kits that we have available to teachers free of charge. And the kits are great where they integrate with the STEM applications with all the science, technology, engineering, and math. So for instance, science of energy, how energy transfers from one form to another is a perfect, connection to the STEM idea and the STEM concepts. And those kits we have available to teachers. I know Maggie's has a number of them. She's used them for.
So what's in the kit? Let's drill into the kit a little bit. What's in there?
You have a teacher's guide.
Okay.
You have some books that you could follow with the kids if you wanted. And it's all inquiry based.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stand up there and say, okay, now we're going to learn about motion and energy and how they work together. The children, you set up stations, and the children go to stations. They follow the directions. They're more for the 4 or 5, you know, the kids who are able. And they go through, and then they do these experiments, and then what the best thing is the discussion afterwards. You talk about, it's very rich, because now they've got all these experiences, and you ask them specific questions, and they're like, oh, yeah. You
okay.
like to hear that, oh,
right.
the discovery of, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was what happened.
For instance, we'll have, energy toys, kinetic and potential toys, little spring, yo-yos, little
mm-hmm.
spring operated cars, things like that. So they learn the terms potential and kinetic and what it means by manipulating these little toys. Another station has bimetal bars and bimetal materials that react with heat.
Bimetal means two metals.
Different,
okay.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Another station has chemical reactions. What happens when you break a light stick? It's two different chemicals that are separated. When you break the glass vial in the light stick, you mix the two chemicals, and that produces a reaction. In this case, light. So you've got a chemical reaction that produces a radiant energy. So they learn, you know, that one form of energy can transfer to another form of energy.
One of their favorites, if you let me interrupt, is the fruit batteries.
Oh, gosh.
Making electricity out of fruit. Fruit,
yeah.
vegetables, they come up with all these
So
things.
How do we do that? Let's explain to the audience how we make electricity out of fruit.
You have a copper wire
okay.
and an iron wire,
zinc,
iron nail, zinc, zinc, zinc or,
okay.
yeah. And then you put these into two different, one fruit, or you could put them into two different fruit.
Okay.
One fruit, yeah. Uh-huh. And it you they have a
the different metals
meter,
react
yeah.
differently.
Yes, they have a meter. Right.
Right.
They have to figure out which two work together,
okay.
because if you put two copper wires in there, it's not going to create any electricity.
Oh,
so then
nice.
They have the electricity, yeah, their meter, and they watch it, you know, peg over to
right.
the side to see, and they always have battles on what, you know, what produces the most electricity. Is it orange? Is it one of those big deli pickles that are sitting in brine? And
so which is it?
You have to experiment to find
oh,
out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I can't give the secrets.
All right. Well, so then we have something to look forward to in the fair. We can actually see how we can generate electricity using fruit. Perhaps not the most practical application for fruit, but it is interesting, and it does give the student a basis for where energy comes from in many instances. Most of our energy, electrical energy, comes from spinning a turbine somewhere, and in this case, it tends to be electric generators, whether it's the Pilgrim Power Plant or whether it's the Canal Plant. The fuel in the case of Pilgrim is nuclear. The fuel in the case of Canal is either oil or gas, and it's primarily oil. Have a number of different coal-fired plants. And then we have the renewable energy, which is the wind turbines and solar. And I assume that your kits address these kinds of things.
Right, even water, too.
Water
turbines. Yeah.
The children make solar ovens and
okay.
Out of boxes and tinfoil and plastic. And I think our top temperature that we got up to was 220 degrees.
Really?
I think it was a couple of second graders who
okay.
came up with that in a club that we had. It was really very interesting.
Were they actually able to boil water with them?
Well, we didn't boil water. No. What we did was we baked cookies.
Okay.
We have to
all
get
right.
on what the kids are thinking.
Sure.
Food.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. This is how we bake cookies.
Yeah, that's right.
We first generate some
but
heat.
But what I've found is doing these inquiry-based things, letting the kids have their hands on, that really leads them to thinking more about what happens when they actually do something. Usually we walk through life and it's just, you know, things happen, but really they really are starting to question and ask questions, and from what they do they find more questions to ask, and that's really what we want the kids to do, is that's how they learn.
With Maggie's school at the East Dam Elementary School, the entire school's roof is covered with solar panels.
Yes, it is.
And one thing I love watching Maggie's kids do, Maggie will give them solar panels, the little tiny solar panels, and let them experiment with them. And several years ago, I watched a couple of the little boys, you know, just wiring these solar panels together, and they were getting it by actually, you know, manipulating these things themselves. They were understanding that the more panels they connect with the wires, the more electricity they're generating to spin a little or to operate a little motor, to spin a wheel or make a little sound, you know, an alarm sound, mm-hmm. which we'll have to kill that next time for your energy carnival. But the same thing with the wind turbines.
Okay.
Maggie has a couple of wind turbines set up in her classroom, mm-hmm. and the kids can design different blades to make more electricity.
Sure.
By using mm-hmm. The different
by changing
designs.
The materials, by changing the shape of the blades.
Yeah.
Well, Deb, talk about how those solar panels got onto the East Ham Elementary School. We did go through this process quite some time ago, but for the edification of those who may be just tuning in for the very first time and not knowing some of what the Cape Lake Compact has done, talk about how those solar panels got on the East Ham Elementary School.
Well, it started with a program called Solarize Our Schools, which was a grant that we had with the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, MTC.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us a grant if we could get the towns to meet 3% of their ratepayers to buy renewable energy. Through the Cape Light Compact's Green Power Program. We met those goals in each of our 21 towns, and we were given the grant to put a 2.04 kilowatt PV system on a school.
PV means?
Oh, photovoltaic.
Thank you.
on each of the on a school in each of the towns, 21 towns. So we did that. The 2.04 system is it is smaller. It's a residential size system.
Okay.
And it generates enough electricity for about a classroom. But the nice thing about these systems is they're tied into a data acquisition system, DAS or DAS. Mm-hmm. And with that system, we have an educational interface that you can access through our website, and it will show how much electricity that school is producing with the solarizer.
So somebody that's listening today could go to capelightcompact.org.
Right.
And they can actually look at each of the 25 schools, is it?
21.
21 schools,
yeah,
that are currently generating electricity through solar.
Correct.
And determine what it is they've generated.
Right. You can access data for how much these systems have generated over the course of their lifetime.
Okay.
And how much CO2 we've offset by using these things. So, they're educational tools. It's getting kids to question and to want to learn more. After those systems went up, of course, the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative have worked with their member towns to put more solar panels on, substantial solar panels on their on some of the schools and some of the municipal buildings, and Eastham Elementary is one of those sites, so that's why it's covered completely covered just about with solar panels.
And you've got a couple of them over on Martha's Vineyard also.
We have the CVEC programs,
yes,
over there, I believe, yep. So yeah, and I they're moving forward into the next year. We'll be seeing some more development on I think on the landfills and on,
okay,
some of the municipal properties out there.
Yeah, because that's one of the challenges we have with solar. Sure, the fuel is free, but you need an awful lot of real estate in order,
right,
to generate enough electricity to make it practical.
Right.
So when you have a roof like the Eastham Elementary School that's facing, mm-hmm, to the south, it's not being used for anything other than keeping the rain off you,
right,
you might as well put a solar panel on there or and generate some electricity with it. And that's what they're doing. And so I recommend to anybody that's interested, please go to www.capelightcompact.org, and you can find the link that'll get you to the school in your town and find out what has happened with solar energy there and how this whole program all ties together. And it is great having this education available to kids. I can attest to the fact that kids come home and do educate their parents, because I've had three that have done it with me. I know it works. So this is wonderful. I appreciate very much you coming in today. I kind of cautioned you before we started the program that this 30-minute program would go by faster than we expected, and sure enough, it's come to an end. And thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call 1-800-797-6699 and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. If you have any questions on today's topic, you can call 1-800-797-6699. I'd like to thank my guests, Debbie Fitton, the Cape Light Compact's Energy Education Programs Coordinator, and Maggie Brown, the K-5 science teacher at the Eastham Elementary School. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Maddie Dunn, the Station Operations Manager, for his good work in getting the program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans, WFMR 91.3 on your FM dial. It's also streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us again next month, same time, same stations. And remember, use energy wisely. It's a precious and increasingly scarce resource.